Zach Thompson.
Jack, David Frimston, how are you?
Yeah, Zach Jonathan Thompson. Don't try and pull like power tricks over me. Like I don't know.
You're a go.
Want to do a bit of a different one today because
we like to,
when we do these trench tips, sometimes we give sales tips, but sometimes we like to maybe show a conversation that we have been having when you're on a dog walk and I'm just on a normal walk, no dogs included. But maybe show that to the listeners.
Somebody just came out my nose.
Yeah, I know. That's the sound of a good friend that makes something come out your nose. So something that we've both watched and the audience might have been watching as well is Adolescence.
Yeah.
Stephen Graham. We both watched.
He's amazing.
He's so good. It was definitely up there with Boiling Point and This Is England for me. Both great. It was all like... All
that's me lad, England. That's me son. That's me son. What are you doing coming in there like that? That's me son.
I know. They didn't know how to spell nonce right, did they? But then I was looking into... Have you... I don't know if you've read it, but you would have seen articles about it and we were speaking about it. The Lost Boys report that's been done.
You know, I saw something that Stephen Bartlett did on that. I've not actually watched the episode, so I don't know much about it. But obviously, I'm as a father of four boys, I'm interested in these sort of things, and perhaps I can give you some.
Oh, he's going. Down.
Perhaps I can give you some real life stuff that I see, and probably around my 12-year-old that I might have recognised.
I was going to say, I hope your 3-year-old isn't thinking of joining the Manosphere yet.
Not yet. He's thinking of calling me a cheek. Peppa Pig and calling me a cheek.
So I think it's just a case of like looking at a few of these bits. And obviously, we hire a lot of salespeople that are probably maybe out of uni, between 20 and 28, typically, is the age. And they're a variety. I think our office is probably split evenly down the middle, isn't it, between men and women. But I'm gonna chuck some stats at you from the report, and I think this is probably a good place to start. So NEET, do you know what NEET is? I had to Google this.
No.
It's NEET.
Very good.
Very good. Not in education, employment, or training. Okay.
Oh.
Since COVID, the number of NEET males, 16 to 24, jumped 40%, but only 7% for females. So in the last 5 years, it's jumped 40%, but only 7% females. Young men officially now earn less than women if they're aged 16 to 24. The first time, I think, in history. I'm going to say that. I'll be corrected in the comments. The gender pay gap has flipped for that age bracket. Boys are falling behind as early as age 5. So 75% of girls are school ready, whereas only 60% of boys. I don't think that's as worry. In prison, 96% are male. In youth prisons, 529 boys, 11 girls. And the suicide rate for boys 15 to 19 is 3.5 times higher than girls. So I think this study that they called The Lost Boys, there's definitely a problem. There's definitely a problem going on. I think it's very easy. I've seen lots of documentaries. You're watching Adolescence as well. It's very easy to say that, oh, it's Andrew Tate and they're influenced by X, Y, and Z. But I guess when you think about like what actually might be causing it, before we like get onto the solution, if we really get into the problem, what do you find? And obviously you're around young lads.
Do you know one thing that I've been thinking about a lot recently is I'm very sensitive to it when I'm like wandering around in public. I'm sensitive to it when I'm with my own children, and I'm definitely not 100% bang on for it. But I think there's a lot of parents that are on their phones when they're with their children, and I think we don't yet know the impact of that. The obvious thing is going to be like the learned behavior of, in the same way that probably people used to once upon a time like pull a fag out, and that's a cigarette for people who are listening in America, but they pull a cigarette out and they smoke a cigarette with that. It's that habit of like, oh, I've got a spare moment here, that comes out, right? So there's the habit there. But I think what's probably more important than that is, can you be second best to technology? And you probably can. The wiring is probably exists in your brain to still feel second best. So you feel second best to that phone. And I was picking up my kids last week on Friday, and my 12-year-old's in the back of the car on his phone, in the back of the van. And my 4-year-old said, I want to sit next to Charlie. So he sits in the back with him. and he's really telling her about his day, my four-year-old, because he loves Charlie. Charlie's his big brother. He always wants to impress him. I'm looking in the mirror, and Charlie's just on his phone like this. Just totally. And there's little questions that Gabe's finishing on. And I had to just go, oh, Charlie, pay attention to him. You don't want him to think that you prefer your phone to him and that he's second best to your phone. And he was like, oh, right, yeah, no, you are right. So he got it. He got what I was trying to tell him. He wasn't like grumbly teenager. But that is the society that we're in. And when I watched Adolescence, actually, that was one of the big things that I took away, just how there's that episode when they're wandering around the school. Everyone's on the fucking phone. And I think we don't know the impact of it. And so I'm going on a bit of a ramble here, but obviously I interact with a lot of parents. Someone was telling me that they've got a teenage daughter, and she said, I've got this little game. When her friends come round, I'm like, let's see who's got the most screen time use. And she said, one of her friends, 10 hours a day screen time.
Jesus Christ.
You're awake for what? How many? 14?
Yeah, yeah.
16? 12? 10 hours a day on your phone. And then if anyone's watched this, if you've ever had that feeling where like, oh, there's like a lingering anxiety here. When you come off your phone for 2 days, it goes. And you're left with like, oh, that's actually probably what baseline feels like. So yeah. It's a bit of a ramble there, but I think phones have more of an impact on this than we think. And the absence of dopamine, if men are feeling it more, are they then reaching for the phone even more than women are? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that is definitely part of the foundation. What do you reckon?
I think that's a great like part to play. I'm going to give you two things that when you were talking there, it gave me two trains of thought, and something that we try and challenge ourselves to do is both sides of the coin. Okay, so I'm going to agree with you, but then I'm also going to disagree with you. And I'm going to give you two very interesting, very similar supporting bits. So I recently went and saw some TED Talks, and one of the TED Talks that they were talking about was they used to give opium to babies for kids, like opium to babies, like for their teeth. And then they'd give them alcohol, then they'd give them nicotine, and then there'd be all these different things. You'd see like a six-year-old in the 1920s, 1930s, having a fag working on a canal. Do you know what I mean? And then it's only over time. So I think I agree with you. We do not know yet. It's very easy to say, well, like, is social media doing that? But it's very easy to say we actually don't know the detriment in 100 years. There's this story that I heard about when the telephone was created, and what people would do is they didn't have telephone etiquette, so they'd just ring up strangers in the end of the in the middle of the night, not say hello, and they'd just stand there breathing. And they'll just be ringing you and I go, because they didn't know what to do.
Know what to do.
Yeah. So are people going to look back at us in 300, 400 years and go, they just watch these videos and they just spent their time reacting to Andy Elliott, or they were just scrolling and they were doing all this nonsense, blah, 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 blah. So that's one bit. The other side of the coin, because I think it's fair to bring all things to the party, is if we look back throughout history, every decade there has probably been a defining thing that people have said that is the problem. So let's look at Elvis Presley and rock and roll. Then we've got the Beatles, then we've got magazines, then we've got the television, then we've got records, and we've got the cassette player. Then you've got the internet, the computer, and now it's phones and social media. So I think it's both sides of the coin. If I was asked for my personal opinion, I think it's having a massive effect. I think you are right that people are anchoring towards their phone. People are losing communication skills. Think about how many people that we interview that probably don't know how to string a sentence together, but I bet they'd be great on text. But we're losing that.
Text.
Yeah, text. What?
Sound like you said sex.
No, I said text. But especially in the world that we're talking about, like, is it fair to blame social media, or is it something bigger?
It's a multifaceted thing, and when things hit society, we're animals that want to simplify information. If you saw information for what it actually was, it'd be absolutely overwhelming. We'd be all just cowering in a corner all the time. Your brain's wired to take things as simply as it possibly can. But social media is definitely a multifaceted thing, isn't it? So if I'll give you another example on this point, right? Let's say, and we interview a lot of people like this, you mentioned the 16 to 24 age gap, right? And then let's talk about Simon Squibb going out there and saying, what's your dream? My dream is to start a business, to a 16, 24-year-old. Start a business then. They fail. Mm. Cool. No worries. Entrepreneurs, they fail all the time. They fail a bit quicker the next time. And they fail a bit quicker the next time. And they fail a bit quicker the next time. And it's actually they've got no money left and they've also got no self-esteem left, right? So that's one thing that you're being taught. On top of that, you're constantly watching videos that is a different get-rich-quick scheme. Yeah, I reckon the difference between short form content and long form content and how to make money or be entrepreneurial, whatever it is for kids, I reckon the long form stuff just doesn't get watched. You have to be a special kind of person with the attention span to actually watch it and know the ins and outs of it. So I'd say part of that is getting out there as well. And it's very oversimplified and very dangerous. What you really want to be doing is, can I have an environment where, I think this is for both, but we're using the example of young men. So let's say for young men, an environment where those early years where the brain's still developing, male brain supposedly not developed till the age of 25, actually we're focused on, can I just give you this foundational self-esteem? What you don't want is, while that early wiring's done, is you have no self-esteem at the end of it. Now, I'm not saying you can't fail, because failure is a very important part of life. But what I'm saying is you can't just fail blindly and learn nothing from it. Fail blindly, right? I'll be a day trader then. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done that. I've lost a load of money. Right? I failed at that. I'll set up a multi-level marketing scheme. Oh, I failed at that. And I'm not learning the lesson each time. And then gradually I'm having no self-esteem throughout it. I think there needs to be more infrastructure around that sort of thing. If you have ambitions to be in business, what are the foundational skills you can learn and actually make it almost a bit harder for people to just suddenly start a business?
Do you think as society we've finally reached the point where it's like past, it maybe even felt tribal? Like, if you think about the 1960s, 1970s, if you went to Australia, okay, you'd have to like ring back home or like send a letter, whereas everything's so like connected now. We're getting to that point where actually the expectations, like if you think about our parents, I think we were the first in our families to go to university, okay? So all of a sudden we've done that, but now you've got so much access. There's a bit of this paradox of choice, great book by Barry Schwartz, who talks about, like, you go into Levi's and it used to be, do you want jeans, do you want them to be blue or black? Whereas now you go into the Trafford Centre, think of how many stores there are, how many different kinds of jeans, how many different colours. It's overload of choice that actually we feel there was definitely, I think there was probably maybe more of an acceptance or a satisfaction of expectations. If you grew up in a mining town and your father was a miner, you probably knew that you would be a miner and you was okay with that. And there'd be one rogue entrepreneur who would exceed that. And I'm not saying that mental health, the conversation around mental health these days is brilliant because people are talking about it. But as we know, the happiness equation in life is meeting expectations. So is it a case of, okay, the expectations are now in life, you can do anything, okay? There are no barriers anymore. There are no, like, if you wanted to work in fashion, you had to have been born in a Chelsea postcode and know someone. Actually, now there are no barriers. You want to be an actor, you want to be a musician. There are so many case studies that anybody can do anything. Mm. So all of a sudden, we're setting the bar so high that we fall and we don't hit it, like you were saying. And then all of a sudden, that's bringing our... Maybe I don't know this, so this is a sweeping statement, so I'll say it, but like maybe women are more rational with it, but men maybe can't understand why. And if I was upset, frustrated, and I wanted to blame something, because we have a self-serving bias where actually it's never our fault, it's always going to be somebody else's fault, who am I going to blame? Well, maybe it's easier to blame women.
Well, let's keep on with that. So that bit that you've used there, we could take that to a really vulnerable example, can't we? So me and you are from a generation, and our parents were, and their parents were, where I remember really fancying someone at high school, asking them out. They said no, getting a bit of ridicule, and the ridicule goes for a bit of a cycle and it ends. It feels a bit cruel. You learn a lesson. You build a bit of a tolerance to like, that was horrible and I can probably do it again. And maybe if I have a couple of beers on the school field, I can do it again. You know, there's those sorts of things. Now, what I'm seeing with like my 12-year-old is one of his friends can do something like that and it just hits the WhatsApp group and it's relentless. It just does not stop. I was talking to one of the school mums the other day about how is their daughter getting on. And their daughter's like a bit more of a tomboy. She's got like short hair and stuff, really sweet girl. So I was asking from like a genuine, like, how's she getting on? Because she's a sweet girl. And she's shaking her head and she's like, they're all in a WhatsApp group. I think several WhatsApp groups with her. So it's coming at her from all angles saying, why don't you kill yourself? You're like a boy. That's the constant, like, but it's what I'm saying is it's not that I'm not saying we didn't get horrible things at us at school because we would have done, but they run their course. Whereas this is just like a relentless, like it just doesn't stop. The feedback, and if I'm already addicted to it, I can't get rid of it. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
So you're not stepping away. You're not rationalizing.
You're not stepping away.
That's awful because then you're banishing yourself from the tribe, which is even worse than the rejection.
Exactly. So then, am I putting myself out there and having as much conversation, interaction with people in real life as I need to develop as a social animal? Mm. Or am I doing it behind a screen? And then that's having a cost later on. The cost is probably what you said before around like, who do I blame? Women, because this has been my experience. Or is it a case of I'm just actually too scared to go out and interact through the fear of rejection? Maybe there isn't the hatred there of women, but it's like a bit of a fear. And because of that, I'm not interacting. And now I'm not having relationships. And I'm a lonely male in my bedroom with lots of testosterone. And then I'm watching porn or going down the rabbit hole. Or you can quickly see how if sex is a late teenage, early 20s man's god, in the absence of God, one will be selected for you. You can see how that would happen. Like you will find one, and it might be an Andrew Tate figure. I don't think like we should only blame Andrew Tate, but it might be an Andrew Tate figure. It might be something else. It might be something that's not harmful. It might be something that's really harmful. There's no concrete answer to this, but are we comfortable completely changing the natural progression of a man's life so that the road isn't clear anymore and they have to go and find those things through, you know, search.
Yeah. And I think it gets to a scary point from like an AI standpoint where the future is moving quickly. Well, do we need to find people or partners that will talk to us? Whereas actually the perfect, you hear young people, and I've definitely heard it throughout the last 4 years, like running a sales team, you hear the conversations around Hinge and Tinder, and this is what I'm looking for. And we watch Married at First Sight, and it's very tick box and all those things. Where it's like, what if you could just actually tick that box and then put it into AI, and it looks exactly how you want? And yeah, physically, you might not be able to be with them and be intimate yet. But what if it gets to a point where you can physically be intimate with them, and we're getting into a real dangerous territory where we're losing things? Or is this the way that the world should be going and we are the worried parents because our kids are listening to the Beatles?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. You don't know. I think the other thing is, and I'll tread lightly on this one, it's worth saving it towards the back end in case people aren't tuned in at this point. I think there's an angle, let me think how to word this. There's an angle of elitism when something hits the mainstream, and we know people like this. So is the feminist movement with everyone what it is? And me and you have both got strong women, both raised by strong women. Mm-hmm. We would want women to have the best. I've got sisters, and like there's no anti women about what I'm about to say. But there is a difference between equality, everyone being equal, and that being the aspiration, and men are bad. Mm. There's a huge issue there. It's the same thing if, like, I was blamed for some atrocity that, like, a great grandparent did. Just because I'm born doesn't mean that you should tar me with that brush.
No.
You know what I mean? Just because women have suffered equalities doesn't mean it's my 4-year-old's fault for being a boy that's happened. And he shouldn't be raised in a world where he believes that, or that's his fault, or it's not a safe space for him. That's not what equality is. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think it's like it's a dangerous thing, because when things hit the news stream, they hit this thing called the hype cycle. So you basically end up with two polar opposite.
I love this.
You just basically get two polar opposite extremes where consciousness tends to land. So it goes, right, all men are bad, or it's actually women's fault, right? And those are the two extremes that people are going to end up on. And it divides the tribe. It's easy to divide us. We're tribal animals. The answer is probably something in the middle. It's enough of an issue to be raised, and I agree it's enough of an issue, and change is needed and was needed, and there's been progression, and that's great to see. But it's not a simple enough issue to just think all men are bad. Men have done bad things and treated people badly and treated women badly and stood on them and not let them have opportunity. I agree. But then my 12-year-old hasn't done that. So should he be raised in a world where he's led to believe that it's not appropriate for him to be masculine or wrestle his brother or be loud or boisterous or feminine or do whatever is there a safe space for him to just be himself, or is it like, oh, I'm actually tarring you with a brush before I've even met you just because you're a man?
You are. Yeah. And there are gender roles as well. Like there are gender roles for a reason of like what is typical, what is atypical, what is not typical, all of these different things. I think the solution is too big to get into on a 25-minute podcast in terms of what it is. But I think that we both watched Adolescence and we both came away from it, and I've got a 1-year-old and you've got a variety of different ages. So it's something that you're thinking about, and you're thinking, well, what are they growing up into? What is the world looking like? And I do think that good role models is one of the mosaic pieces that fits into that. And it's not to say that Andrew Tate is a bad role model. That's not what I'm saying. Like you can't say one person is good or bad. Are they more bad than they are good? Then that's down to public opinion. But I think it's about, like, I also don't think the good role model isn't somebody that Simon Squibb, everybody can be an entrepreneur. Like I think that there's that bit on that middle bit. And I think that, like, they say charity starts at home, but like, who are the good role models at home? Who are the men that aren't afraid to listen to girly pop? Who are the men that aren't afraid to talk about their emotions and say how they're feeling? And I think it all starts with an honest conversation of, I feel this because of this. And this is where, like, our therapy sales techniques can come in. And having good role models around them to challenge them and say, why do you feel like that? I thought that the episode 3 with the therapist or the doctor was incredible. Just like really trying to understand. And I think that's, I'm sure that people listening to this episode aren't those kind of people. But like, before we just go in and judge, oh, boys are X because of X, it's just trying to have empathy and understand, like, okay, well, contextually, I'm sure that there's lots and lots of moving pieces depending on the situation.
Why did you end up where you ended up? One of the rules we've put in place is there's the obvious, like, screen locking thing, but there are ways around that. If you go on YouTube, like, kids have got ways around that. You can do, like, screen sharing with your mates and stuff. But one of the things we've got is just it comes downstairs at a certain point of the night. Like, Charlie, our 12-year-old, the next one in line hasn't got a phone yet, thankfully, but he brings his phone down an hour before bed and he takes a book up and he reads his book, and there's no phone. And the phone, you're not having it till the morning. Apparently the biggest problems that occur are when people are going to bed with their phone.
Oh, kids are. I can imagine. The lights on all night, because it's just endless. Like we've never had access to so much information. So if your brain is so impressionable, mate, I mean, I'm sure the audience could guess in the comments, but if you give 14-year-old versions of me and you endless information on the internet, I don't think we'd be leaving the house for weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
So much to unpack, but I thought a bit of a different episode today, just to like talk about something that's probably like a bit relevant. It'd be good to hear
something that's a counselor's for, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely something that you said. Definitely. If you watched Adolescence, let us know. Any tasks? Anything for us, Mr. Thompson?
I don't think on this one. I don't think it needs a task. Let's not bring.
Be kind to yourself. That's all I'm going to ask you to do.
That's all I'm going to say. And put it in the comments how kind you were to yourself.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Cheers, guys. Cheers in the house.